Welcome to Life Community Church. We are a lively, growing church in the heart of Royal Leamington Spa. We trust that this message will encourage you and help you to live a life full of purpose as God intended.
Hallelujah, glory be to God this morning that He is great and worthy to be praised. You're sitting here today because God wants to speak to you. You're not here just for the sake of it, but you're here today because God wants to speak to you. You may be challenged, you may be instructed, you may be encouraged, you may be inspired, or you may be simply filled with God's fire today. That's why you are sitting here today. There's a reason. I'm here today because I have met my friend from Malaysia. I've just returned back from Malaysia a few days ago. But firstly, I want to say thank you so much to Pastor Dave, my friend, my brother, for giving me the opportunity to come and share the word today. But I'm so blessed to know that you're planting and you're increasing in faith and growing in the community. I have a big heart for Coventry for so many years, and Pastor Dave will know that. In my own quiet times, I go and pray for Coventry and ask God for a revival, but I don't share it to no one. I go myself, not in groups. I just go myself. I go on the train and I walk the streets and I pray. So whenever me and Pastor Dave want to meet up, I always say, let's meet in Coventry at Greg's. So it's a great joy to know that God is building the church and moving you forward and excelling you. You know, I've just come back from Malaysia. So many South Indians there. I was very surprised. So many Malaysians there. Very surprised. So many Africans there. So surprised. So many Indians and Pakistanis and Japanese and Chinese. And what a great opportunity was for me to go out there and to preach the word at a leaders' conference. I did some evangelism and missions training for pastors and for leaders and for church members to how to reach out into their communities. They need it as much as we need it. So it's really encouraging that I had the opportunity to minister to young people and just to see young people on fire and hungry and ready to serve God. And I pray for every young person today that will wake up and feel hungry to serve God like never before. You know, I saw so many, you know, Japanese and so many young people from different ethnic groups saying, Lord, I surrender all. I think each one of us today need to say, Lord, I surrender all. Remove every doubt so that my faith will arise and that I might believe in God for something great in my life, in my church, and in my community. Amen. And it was great to see that. You know, even at the leaders' conference, you saw pastors with face down, just in the presence of God, soaking in the presence in an AGM, in a pastor's conference, and just saying, Lord, use me. I pray that today you will say exactly the same. You will say, Lord, use me. Fill me with that passion to serve you more. And there may be some of you today, they may hold some doubts, may hold some worries and anxieties today. But all that God is asking you today is saying, Lord, all He's asking is, and all He wants to hear is, I surrender. Lord, use me. Give me the strength to put my faith in you. And today, it's about removing those doubts. It doesn't matter what man may say to you. I never thought, I've been praying for Malaysia for 15 years, right? This hasn't happened overnight. This has been a 15 years of prayer and fasting. And at the right time, that door opened for me. And I stepped out in faith and I said, Lord, I'm here. And for these last 2.5 weeks, it's changed my life about the perception of missionary and missional work and training the church and community and raising up leaders. And oh, it's been a great joy. And maybe one day I'll get more time and I'll show you some video clips of some of the Malaysians doing some great work. I'm picking on him today. because it looks like a couple of days. It looks like I haven't left Malaysia yet, because we have a Malaysian keyboard. There's some great Malaysian keyboard players out there, and it was great. But, you know, today, I want you to expect something new. I don't know what kind of things that you are experiencing today. I don't know what kind of things you may be thinking about today or in today, or what kind of circumstances are holding you back from growing in God. I don't know, but what I do know today is that the Lord has come to wake you up and to remove those problems, to remove those challenges. No matter what man may say, God has something great for your life today. Isn't it great that when someone looks at you, they say, wow, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. If a man who has you for English and you for mathematics can stand here today and share the word, what a joy it is. How much more can you do? Say, someone say amen. Amen. The Malaysian man must have masters and BAs and A levels, where this simple Indian man has you for English and you for mathematics. Praise God for the Malaysian. Amen. I got to pick on you today because I've just come back from Malaysia. God is doing something great in Malaysia, and I'm proud to be a part of it, because just even today, as we were praying in the church, I got a text from one of the pastors saying, when are you coming back to Malaysia? We've got some training to do. Isn't that great? Due to having a Malaysian here today, we give God thanks. I want you to turn your Bible today. You know, I want to ask you a question before we read the word. What I want to ask you is, what did we celebrate last week? How has Easter affected you this week? So we ate all the Easter eggs. What else in your faith, after celebrating Easter, are you different? Have you changed? Have you grown? Or have you become quiet? Or are you soft? Or do you feel weak? After celebrating Easter, has your faith arisen, or do you need to do more? We celebrated Easter, but we now need to do more. Because that is the first step to big things. Just like today we've heard about the church planting initiative, about taking that first step, celebrating what God is about to do in people's lives. And that is great news to know. So today I want to challenge you today, that are you still the same after celebrating Easter? Are you still living in the norm after Easter? Are you still looking at the word in the norm, or are you looking at the word in a different light, where it will bring about power, where the Spirit of God will move you and shake you and build you up? After Easter, what are you thinking? What is your lifestyle after Easter? Jesus rose again on the third day. Victory, death overcome. There was new life, there was a new hope, there was a new joy. So when you've celebrated that, how are you living your lifestyle today? Is it still in the norm? Is it a wake-up call for you, your family, your children, in your workplace, in the way that you live in your school? Should there be an awakening or a wake-up call after last week? Of course. You see, after Easter, there was an increase, there was an enlargement, there was a greater joy, there was a greater vision, there was a greater hope. If you have not got this hope, if you haven't hold this greater vision of who Jesus is, then you are sitting here today because the Lord wants to remind you, I have come to wake you up so that your eyes will open to see who Jesus really is and who we are in Christ, as Pastor Dave reminded us through the word in 2 Peter, that yes, we are a holy nation, you know, a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, young people, a chosen generation. I remember preaching in one of the great churches across Malaysia. And what happened was God said to me, just call out the young people, because the young people were so quiet. And one young person came forward and said, I'm going to take the step of faith, and I'm just going to step out in faith, and I'm going to believe that God is going to speak to me. And it was an Easter Sunday.
One came, and then so many followed just because of this one young man who said, I believe the true meaning of Easter. I'm looking forward when I return that I will see and speak with that youth group or that youth gathering that they have when I return. So what a great joy it is that. Has Easter changed your life? Let's read the word of God today and let's... John chapter 20. Let's say I have 3 hours to speak today. Is that okay? Amen. Amen. I'm just saying in Malaysia, they only gave me 20 minutes in one meeting because I had to have Cantonese. No, Mandarin was the translation on that day. So the minister said to me, you can only speak for 20 minutes. I said, 20 minutes? Is that it? I said, in India, they give you 3.5 hours. In Africa, they give you 6 hours. But in Malaysia, they gave me 20 minutes, but I give God thanks. Pastor Dave said, take as long as you want. We give God thanks. I think he's going to delete that picture today. John chapter 20, verses 19. Let me read this out. So when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were for the fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. Jesus suddenly appeared. I'm going to break it down for 5 seconds. Today, you are going to experience a suddenly. Oh, come on. That should make you rejoice. That there's going to be a wow factor. There's going to be a sudden movement. Something's going to happen where you will see Jesus in a new light. Not just saying, oh, peace be with you, but also saying, I'm here for you. I'm here to see you change. I'm here to see you increase. I'm here today. I have shown up so that you can see Jesus in true light. In your church, in your vision, in your community, in your home. Jesus has turned up today for you and for me. Someone say amen. Picture it. And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. His disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they have been retained. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And I encourage you today that if the Lord offers you something free today, receive it. Do not miss out on your blessing. If the Lord has handed you out a blessing, don't remove yourself from it. I'm always fearful that I don't want to miss out on the blessings of God. That's why you're sitting here today, to receive the blessing of God. I'm not here to remove myself. If God is giving me and promised me a double portion, I want to receive it. If God wants to give me a gift, I want to receive it. If God wants to give me a new talent, I want to receive it. If God wants to give me a new ability, I want to receive it. If God wants to give me more confidence, I want to receive it. If God gives me boldness, I want to receive it. I don't want to walk away from God's blessing. Amen. I want to take the full package. I don't just want to be a half-hearted Christian. I want to walk in the fullness of God. That's why Jesus appeared. Because he wanted each person to know the fullness of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. But there was one guy, and his name was Thomas. You know, I love Thomas because today I'm going to talk about him. People described him as a doubting person, a doubting apostle. But I see him as a believer. He asked so many questions. You know, before I went to Malaysia, I asked so many questions before the Lord. I put down so many questions. I said, Lord, this, and this. Lord, what? Why? I don't know if you've been there, but I've been there. I've been there for the last how many months and years. What's going to happen? Lord, I've got to go back to India. What's going to happen? I've got to get back to Malaysia in a few weeks. What's going to happen? Lord, I don't know why. So Thomas is there thinking, oh, I don't know what's going on here. He's not there. I don't know about you. You ever been a Thomas? I've been a Thomas. I don't believe it. I want to see it with my own eyes. Jesus is Lord. I want to know who this Jesus is all about. I want to see him before I put my trust in him. I don't know about you, but that's something I pray. Like, Lord, I want to see you. Open my ears that I may hear you. Open my spiritual eyes that I may see you. Some of you here today are blind spiritually. And the Lord has come to say, open your eyes and see what I am doing, because he's doing a new thing. Wow. He's doing a new thing at Life Community Church. Can you see it? That's why you're sitting here today. That's why I'm standing here today and I'm sharing the word, is because I see it. I don't know about you, but can you see it? Amen. Can we see the increase in Coventry? Amen. Can we see the increase in Leamington Spa? Amen. Can we see the vision arising? We say amen, because God has opened our spiritual eyes so we can see it. Can we see a joy in our marriage? Yes, we can. Can we see a greatness in our relationship? Yes, we can. Can we see a better job? Yes, we can. Because the Lord has opened your eyes so you can see it. Someone say amen. So the other, another 2 hours to go. So other disciples were saying to him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see in his hands the imprint of the nails and put my finger into the place of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. After 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas with them. Jesus came. The doors have been shut. He stood in the midst and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, reach here with your finger and see my hands, and reach your hand and put it in my side, and do not be unbelieving, but be believing. Thomas becomes a believer. Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord, my God. Some of you might need to say today, my Lord, my God, I'm sorry. Maybe there's some of you that need to say, Lord, I'm sorry for not being obedient. You know, there's some people sitting here today where words of prophecy and words have declared over your life and you still have not walked into it. There's some sitting here today that the Lord has promised you something, or he has commanded you to do something, and you have not yet completed or even stepped out in faith to complete. There's some sitting here today that the Lord has said to you, this is what you are called to do in this church, in the ministry. Some of you are holding giftings and abilities that you're not using. Maybe that's you today. Maybe that needs to be a bit of a wake-up call for you today. Because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are those who do not see and yet believed. Therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. I love this bit. There are mysteries beyond mysteries, which are not written in the word. That's how great our God is. Too much to list. Isn't that great that God's going to enlarge you to do more for him beyond what is written in the word? There's going to be other miracles and manifestations and testimonies that are going to come out of your life beyond the word. That's how much God wants to use us and bless us. But he wants us to remove the doubt so that we can begin to completely believe in him. Lord, I don't have the money, but I know you will move the mountain for me. Lord, I may not have the money, but I know you pay my bill. I said, Lord, I haven't got the money to go on an airplane and go to Malaysia. And what happened? Someone paid for my air ticket. Lord, I don't know where I'm going to stay. I could stay in a 5-star hotel, but the Lord gave me somewhere to stay. Isn't that great? And when you see people saved, and when you see people healed, and when you see the nation begin to rumble and do more, thank the Lord. Lord, you have promised us something. But we've got to take that first step. And today, just like Thomas, we have to take the first step. Right, I'll start my sermon now. Wow. You know, I love Thomas. The reason why I love Thomas so much is because Thomas was a man that became a missionary in India. You see, the biggest missionaries there where he died as a martyr. Five soldiers, I think, stabbed him in his body for sharing the gospel. He was martyred in India. Ministry called Mart Thomas in South India. But he went out as an apostle to reach my people. It's great, isn't it? And that's why I love Thomas on that side of. That's why I love Thomas as well. But Thomas was also a bit cheeky, maybe a bit like me. No, there was one minister in Malaysia. He is one of the national directors in Malaysia that sits on every Christian board, I think, in Malaysia. And when I met him for dinner, and I preached at his church on Good Friday and Easter Sunday morning, and he was cracking that many jokes, I was like, I thought you was like, we are not worthy in your presence. You know, when you stand next to Mr. Fu Seng and go, hi, sir, how are you? He'll go, how are you doing? We've just planted 40 churches in India. We got Brazil. We got this. We got that. Enjoy yourself here today. And I went, okay. So humble, so simple, and God is using him, but a bit cheeky because it, I hope you don't eat too much today, you know. You got to preach tomorrow. And I was like, huh? What? Yeah, okay, no problem at all. I'm sorry, I'm feeling very lonely. Let me stay in the church house. Oh, it's okay. It's good to be quiet now and then. Yeah, but it's my first time I've entered into Malaysia. Someone be my friend at least. He goes, no. Go and use that brand new house that we've just made. And it's all modernized for you. Go and sit in there quietly. It'd be good for you. I thought this man's got a big sense of humor. Must have been a bit like Thomas, maybe a bit like me then. When you look at someone, you think, no, I can't approach. But when you speak to them in love, wow, what a strength that is. It's an encouragement that there are so many different kinds of people in the church today. Just like a Thomas, just like a like me, like a Raj Cole. There's so many different kinds of people in the church. And that's the beauty of the church where we're sitting in today. There is so much diversity and intercultural mission sitting here today. There is so much to do. You have no excuse to reach an Indian. You have no excuse of reaching an African. You have no excuse in reaching a white man. When I went to Malaysia, I had to be all those things in a package. Except a white man. Oh, no, I did meet a white man. He was from Exeter. I was preaching at a church on Palm Sunday, and he came with his wife, and he goes, I'm from Exeter. And I went, praise God for Exeter. Praise God for the British guy that's there, standing there, bald like me, tall. You know, what a joy that there was one white British man with me in Malaysia with his wife, praising and dancing during Palm Sunday. What a great joy that is, that we can all work together for the kingdom. No matter what our culture, what our backgrounds are, just like Thomas, what a character he had. But I thank God for Thomas because he became a believing apostle. It is good to ask the Lord questions. Why do you want to choose me, Lord? I'm not skilled enough. I don't have the faith to do this. It's great to ask questions. To the Lord, don't ask questions to your pastor because he'll just go, pray about it. The easiest way the pastor loves you so much is say, pray. I'm praying for you. I'll fast for you tomorrow, but you just keep praying. Now, there's many pastors like that. Let's remove them on one side today because your pastor opens that door so that you can meet and greet and pray with him like I do. You know, we meet at Greg's for a coffee. We've never met anywhere else except Greg's. In Coventry. What's the best way of meeting halfway? And we say, let's go to Coventry and Coventry Station. We'll go for the Greggs. Maybe we'll change that one day. Praise God. That Thomas became a believing person. Why? Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Thomas then began to realize who Jesus was. When he looked at Jesus, when he touched Jesus, he was never the same again. You see, when we begin to touch Jesus, when we begin to hold his hand, when he begins to hold your hand, when he doesn't let you go, then you know you have the answer. You have the solution. You have your breakthrough. You have your calling. When you meet with Jesus, you are never the same again. And that's the joy that I like. And that's the joy that I'm encouraging you with today, that when you touch your Jesus, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, I went into a place in Malaysia where it is called Little India. And I thought I was in India. It smelled like India. It looked like India. The people were dressed like India. And I looked at them and I said, am I in India? And I looked and I said, hello, sir. All right. Yes, I'm from Bangladesh. Where are you from? I'm a Hindu. I'm a Sikh. Everyone that trimmed my beard was an Indian. Sorry, just to let you know that. Yeah? He goes, there's so many Punjabi people that have got barber shops in Malaysia. I'm like, wow, where am I? I think I'm in England. When I look at all these people, I connected well with them. I had no excuse of not approaching them. I ate with them. I sat with them. I talked to them. It was a great joy. Why? Because I knew what kind of people I was going to engage with. You see, when you begin to relate with your God, he will know what you're about. He will connect with you at all levels. It doesn't matter if you're black, white, Asian. He knows who you are. You know, in the streets, as you are aware, in all respect, Malaysia is a Muslim country. And the way that we preach in love and in respect and sensitivity is very important. And we share the love of Jesus. And one day I met a bishop in West Malaysia at a meeting with the bishop, the new bishop, of West Malaysia. And I had to wear my collar in respect with the bishop. But then he took me to the town, wanted to go and get me an ice cream. Because I love ice creams, by the way. And he took me to this place where they have very expensive ice cream. So I had ice cream. I hated it. But that's just between me and you, right? So he took me. But then with my collar and him with his collar, I went and I hugged a Muslim man. And he looked at me and he goes, Allah? I said, Jesus. He said, Allah? I said, Jesus. And he goes, oh, he called his family. So his wife wearing a hijab, his kids. Let's take a selfie. He goes, I'm only in Malaysia for 3 days, but I like you. Let's take a selfie. So I took a selfie as well. I said, yeah, definitely. All we have to do is share the love of Jesus. Preach about Jesus. We just hugged each other. Just like my father did when a white American pastor hugged my dad with a beer can in his hand. Hugged him. He gave his life to Jesus. Just through a hug. Because we know Jesus knew the challenge that Thomas had. He knew what he was thinking. He knew how to connect with him. He knew what kind of blessings and heart desires he holds. He knew. Because when he found out, he said, now go to India. There's some of you here today that the Lord has to say, go, peace be with you now. I send you out. I will fill you with the Spirit of God and send you out. There's some of you here today that need to be sent out. You've been sitting on the chair too long. And today is your time and sending out. If you do not do it, God will bring someone else. And that's what scares me. If you don't praise me, he said, the stones will praise me. Every day I think about it. Lord, if you don't use me, you're going to tell someone else to do it. And I'm going to miss out on the blessings and the promises of the goodness of God for my life, for me, my family, my health, my future. Wow. Jesus loves me that much that he doesn't want you to miss out. He doesn't want me to miss out. And that's why it's a reminder for us today that God has a great plan for you. Another hour I think I've got left. I haven't even started the sermon. I'm looking at these things. What have I done here? Isn't it sad, really, that you have to preach for 20 minutes? Martin Luther said one thing. He said, faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase. I don't see the answer, but I'll step out in faith. I haven't seen all of Malaysia yet, but I stepped out in faith. I don't know what my neighbor will say to me, but I'll step out in faith and say hello to him or her. You know, there's many people today that don't even speak to their neighbors. Forget the ones opposite, not even the neighbors. That's a challenge for us today. Do you speak to your neighbor? Do you give them a Christmas card? Do you give them an Easter card? It took me a while. You know, they all call me the vicar in my area. Oh, the vicar's here. He's going to church. Praise God. If I need prayer, the vicar will pray. But he also knows the vicar hates dogs. Everyone around my area knows the vicar hates dogs. So don't put a dog near him. He loves you, but he doesn't love the dog. So if you've got dogs, I give God thanks for your life, but you won't see me in your yard. Whenever I go to people's homes in the days and pastoring, I would say, if you've got a dog, can you put him in the kitchen? And then I'll come and pray for you. Yes, Pastor, okay. I'll definitely put the dog in the kitchen. Then you can come and pray. But if that dog comes out, I'm gone. And let me tell you something today, as I continue the word, and as we believe together today. I stayed at a pastor's house where I was preaching for Palm Sunday. And I heard this when I got to the door. And I said, Pastor, have you got a dog? Oh, we've got a nice little poodle. I got all my suitcases with me, got my bag with me, ready to go into his house. I said, I ain't coming into your house until you move the dog. And this is a pastor. I'm coming from Malaysia. You know, coming to Malaysia to stay at his house. But I said, Pastor, I do apologize. Oh, we've got a little basket. So whenever you're not around, well, sorry, when you are around, we'll put him in the basket. I said, thank you so much. But one day. Now, I stayed with that pastor for nearly a week. But one day, I went up to the balcony where my room was. Sorry, and I was going to sleep. And the dog was at the balcony looking at me. I opened my door, and I saw the dog looking at me directly. And I went, I text the pastor. I said, Pastor Justin, do you know that the dog is standing at the front of the balcony where my room is? Oh, how is she? Oh, let me call her then. I said, if you don't mind, can you call her? There'll be no breakfast. I'm not joining you guys at all for breakfast. And my room was right at the top there. He brought the dog down. But can you see how much I don't like dogs? But I saw the dog face to face, little poodle thing like this. Beautiful picture of a poodle, but for me, it's an Alsatian. But we give God thanks, amen? You see, Doubting Thomas, as someone calls him, I'm so encouraged because he asked those questions. He's faithful, he's listening, and he's being obedient. He only wants to know what's going on. There is nothing wrong with asking God questions. There is nothing wrong with asking people about who Jesus is. About the miracle maker, the way maker, the God maker, the life changer, the mover, the shaker. There's no harm in asking those questions. You will get your answer and you will get your solution. The problems will be removed away. The doubt will be removed away and you will grow. And some of you today, sitting here today, need some growing up like Thomas. Okay, I wasn't with the other group, but when I met with my Jesus, I knew. I may have not been sitting in that group, but when I met with my Jesus, I grew and I knew who I am. And some of you today may say, I'm not getting involved, I'm not with that group. But I know that when I kneel in the presence of my God, when I answer Him, when I call upon Him, when I reach out to Him, He will touch me and He will speak to me and I will hear His voice. It may happen on a one-to-one. It may happen collectively. It may just happen in your upper room, in your house, with your wife or with your family. But when you call upon the name of Jesus, something happens. Someone say amen. You know, what a great... You know, he heard everything, Thomas. He saw the miracles of Jesus. He saw the tax collector. He saw the lame walk. Demon possessed, delivered. He's seen people touched, women, men, fed the 5,000. He saw everything, but still he had a doubt. I don't know about you today. I don't know how many miracles you have seen. I don't know what you know about Jesus today. You may know that Jesus saves. You may know that Jesus heals. You may know that Jesus delivers. You may know Jesus hopes and brings new life and joy and peace. But still you do not believe. So we're coming to that level where Jesus is saying, I've shown you everything that you need to know about me. You believed, you've seen it, you've read it in the Word. I've rose again from the dead. That tomb is empty. The tomb is empty. Do you still not believe, church? Do you still not believe, church? And maybe that's a reminder for us today. Do you not yet believe what I have promised for you? For your life? I've reminded you for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, this is what I'm about. This is who I am. This is what I can do. Do you still not believe that when you call upon the Holy Spirit, He will fill you afresh, empower you, bless you, give you wisdom, provide you with spiritual gifts, anoint you afresh? Do you not still believe that there's going to be change in our church? Do you not believe that there's going to be an increase in our church? And that through the church and through the vision, people in the community are going to get saved? Do you not see it yet? Great word to bring in, especially when you come for the first time into this wonderful building. Congratulations to your new building. What a joy. Maybe too late to ask that, say that now. But he said, unless I put my finger, I will only have the answer. Maybe you need to reach out and with your hand and say, Lord, I want to touch your side. I want to touch your spirit. I want to touch your heart. I want to touch you today. I want to touch you. Maybe someone needs a touch today. You need to call out today. Someone needs to touch. Lord, my physical body, that person with the back problem that had with the nerves and in the back, I pray that God will heal you because He wants to touch you and set you free from that problem that you have in your back. And there's others here today that have issues physically in their womb, in their stomach, in their ears, that God wants to speak to you and touch you physically and spiritually in the name of Jesus. Someone say amen. Amen. Someone say amen. I went to India and there was an 80-year-old man that came on with crutches. And I finish with this in another hour. You know, one of the great things about India was this, that even if you went for 3 or 4 hours, there'll be a meal at the end. So no excuse. So if there's 3,000 sitting in the building, you know that when you finish, I'm going to get some food at the end anyway. So you just carry on speaking as much as you want to. I'll have a 3-course meal at the back. Praise God. And I'll have my bus fare and I can go with my auntie back home with my stomach full. But today we have a cup of tea. So I'm going to take it. I'm looking. We give God thanks. This 80-year-old man came with the crutches in the church and he came from the back and just sat at the front. Praise God for the man. About 80 years old, praising, worshiping. He couldn't sit down. He was with his crutches, so he stayed on the chair. And all I asked afterwards was, we'll pray for you. And yeah, you'll be healed. We prayed for him. He's healed, but that's not the story. Oh, he got healed. That, praise God for that bit. But that's not what I want to focus on. What I want to focus on is why he wanted to get healed. Because I wanted to go and tell my people in the village that Jesus is Lord. He didn't say, oh, I'm healed now. Thank you, Jesus. He said, no, no, no. I said, go then. Go back to your village and tell them that Jesus, he just ran. Went to go and tell them. And say, don't say anything about what church you went to, who you listened to. Just tell them Jesus is Lord. Go, 80-year-old man. He said, all I want my legs for is to share the gospel. Lord, all I want to be blessed for, all I want you to do for me is this, but I'm doing it because I want to share the gospel. I want to see the kingdom built. I'm not just thinking about myself. I want to be a blessing to others. Someone say amen. Someone say amen. Haven't heard the Malaysian person. He's very quiet today. Is he a very quiet person? Is he a quiet person? Well, I haven't yet. Well, actually, I have seen a few quiet Malaysians. But when God touched these young girls, you know, they were like, wow. They were on fire. These young girls, Malaysian girls. Oh, Lord, we've got to serve you. We're hungry. We want to do something for you. We want to surrender all. And you know, at the end of the week, they brought me a nice little iPad sleeve. Someone say, ah, oh, you're bored. You know, I was so happy. I got a new iPad sleeve. You know, very unique, you know, very unique, handmade, beautiful, absolutely amazing. I want to leave with this. My Lord, my God. My Lord, my God. The only answer I have for you today is when you say, my Lord, my God. That's the only answer I have. That if you don't know Jesus today, then you've got to cry out to my God. Lord, save me. My Lord, my God, you are the Son of the living God. You are the King of my life. I give my life unto you. There was an African man in a church in Malaysia, and he brought a walking stick. I didn't care about the walking stick. I was more concerned about his soul, because he said, I'm not a Christian. Do you believe in Jesus? No. Where are you from? Nigeria. Any Nigerians here? Praise God. God is good. And all the time, there are Nigerians here. It was a great Nigerian engineer, actually, in one of the churches, who was doing my training for me and setting up all the computers and things like that, been there for 20 years. But this man said, I want to be made well. I said, have you given your life to Jesus? No. I said, give your life to Jesus, and then we'll see what happens. My God, my God, save me. We'll see what happens. When you begin to believe in your God, you see what happens. You see? Simple man like Thomas, maybe a nobody in the eyes of people, but when he said, my God, I now know who you are. Send me. I'm ready to do anything for you. And maybe there are some here today saying, Lord, touch me. Use me. Save me. Empower me. Fill me. Touch me. Renew me, restore me, build me up. Because after Easter, there's a building up. Something new begins. Something begins to flourish again. There's an energy that begins to rumble within you. So you say, Lord, I'm ready to do more. Where's my Malaysian brother gone? I love him so much. I feel like I'm in Malaysia. Anybody watching on TV today, online? Reverend Raj is still in Malaysia. So just to make you aware, it's based in Leamington Spa. It's called Life Community Church. Starts at 10:30 because there's a Malaysian there. And he's on fire. So any Malaysians watching online, come here. There's some Malaysians waiting to speak to you. Praise God. I'm one of them.
I have a big heart for Malaysia and India and Brazil, but I give God thanks. Please come help me, huh? I'll take him with me wherever I go now. I love Malaysia. I've got to take a photo so I can send it to the guys in Malaysia and said, I met a Malaysian in the UK. They're going to say, God's will. Wow, God's will for you to be in Malaysia. Now you made a friend in Malaysia. Wow, praise God. He said it, he heard it. Jesus said, I am the living bread. I am the living water. You will never be thirsty again, he said. He's heard all those things. I am the way. If you are thirsty, I will fill you afresh. I am the one that will show you the way. I will guide you, protect you, bless you. I am the good shepherd. I will look after the sheep. He's heard everything. Just like you have today. You've heard everything. But still, there's a need. There is still a space for you to grow. There is still elements in your life that need to be tackled and made new. Resurrection power. Lord, fill me with that resurrection power. True. Not just the Easter eggs. You know, in Malaysia, they don't know anything about Easter eggs. Because they're a Muslim country. So they don't sell Easter eggs in Easter like we do. We give them a card. We love them. We share the love of Jesus. Then we've got Easter eggs. So I'm not talking about the Easter eggs today. I'm talking about Jesus today. I'm not talking about the commercial stuff of Easter today. I'm talking about Jesus today. Because without Jesus, you are nothing. I don't know what will happen to you today after you leave this building, but today you have the opportunity. You say, Lord, here I am. I'm ready because I've seen it and I've heard it. Those who believe in me will never die. I remember in a Chinese church, this Asian man came up to him and said, oh, I'm so happy you're a Punjabi man. I'm Punjabi as well. And I've given my life to Jesus, but please pray for my wife and my uncles and aunties who are not Christians. Because I'm doing my best to be a light. I pray with you. Maybe there's someone here today that their loved ones are not believers. We're going to stand with you and pray with you today so that your loved ones will be saved in the mighty name of Jesus. But Lord, use me. Remove the laziness. Remove the doubt. And make me a Bible believer once again, oh God. Make me the mover and shaker you want me to gain. Oh God, you are my God. You are my King. You have chosen me for a time such as this. Resurrection power. Let's all stand. Today is your time to believe. Say, time to believe. Today is your time to believe. Remove the disbelief. I only have short time today. But we're going to remove, Lord, remove all the disbelief. I want to lift up the name of Jesus today like never before. I want to leave this building today touched and filled afresh and empowered and sent out to do more. My faith will arise because I know who I am in my God. I don't know if you know your God today, but let me tell you something. Your God is here today, who is speaking to you. The Lord Jesus is speaking to you today. Through the Holy Spirit, you will hear His voice today. Through the Holy Spirit, you will feel His presence. Like just like now, you are feeling the presence of God, just like I am on the stage. that I'm feeling the presence of God because you're also feeling the presence of the mighty God. Together we are experiencing His power and His love and His joy and His peace. Some of you need some peace. Today I haven't got much time, but if you got peace, if you need some peace, just raise your hands. If you need some peace in your life, thank you, thank you. We're going to pray. Thank you, sister. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Peace. Thank you. Anybody else? Lord, remove the anger. I get angry very quickly. If that's you, just raise your hands quickly. Is there anybody here? Amen. I pray for you today that God will remove the anger, the peace and the anger. Those that need an awakening today in your spirit, saying, Lord, use me. Just raise your hands. At Life Community Church, yes, God sees your hand. Yes, God sees your hand. God sees your hand today. He sees you. He knows your heart. He's saying, get ready then to serve me more and more and more. I am a believer. I am not doubting no more. If there are some of you here today that need some hope in your life, Thomas needed that hope. He needed to know. If that's you today, just raise your hands. You need some hope, I see, in Jesus' name. We see it, we see it. Lord, wipe away my tears. I'm touching the heart of God today. Wipe away my tears for the people that I'm crying and praying for. Wipe away my tears today. I just want to call the worship team up for a short time. Whatever circumstance you're going today, it could be a starting point for something new for you today, for you and your house. Today, for you, a new starting point. Today, for you and your house, a new starting point. What I've been praying for 20 years will come to pass in Jesus' name. What I've been praying for 10 years and I've been on my knees, the Lord will answer your prayer today. It's a starting point, but you have to believe. You have to take the step of faith. And if that's you today, then you've got to take the step of faith and declare and say, this is a new starting point for me today, that God is going to do something fresh and something new in my life. And we're going to pray together. And I believe that God is going to speak to you. And if there are people here that have ear pains or in the stomach, near the womb, then I want you to come today. I want you to come forward and I want to pray with you as well. And the pastor will pray and the team will pray with you. But let's just sing that song first. Because I want to lift up the name of Jesus. And we're going to lift up the name of Jesus together. And we'll finish with this. Let's sing it.
I exalt thee.
In this place today.
I exalt thee.
Lord, I exalt you today. Because without you, I am nothing. I'm nothing without you.
Oh, Lord.
I want to pray for those people that raised their hands and said, I've got an anger problem. I need some hope. I need peace. I just want you to come to the front today. I just want you to come. Those that raised their hands, come, come, come. Who was that? Gentlemen, come. Who else? We're going to pray for you in faith because it's a new starting point for you. We exalt you in my life. Those that may have pain in the stomach and in the ear, if that's you, just come to the front very quickly. If that's you, in the stomach or in the back of the ear, then God wants to touch you today. Then those that want to say, Lord, I need some hope. Lord, use me.
touch me, then I want you to come to the front as well, because the Lord wants to minister to you today. If that's you, that was you there, who else? Please come. Lord, use me. I want some hope. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus today for the starting point. For the starting point. Lord, I pray for those that need a wake-up call today. There'll be a starting point in their life. A wake-up call for that ministry that you have been promised years ago. Today, the Lord is saying, may that blessing be released upon you today. The joy of the Lord. Some of you need some joy in your house. I don't know if someone needs some joy in their house, but some of you need some true joy in your house. And the only one that will fill your house with joy is Jesus. And if there's someone here today, a couple that need joy, then I want you to reach out today and say, Lord, fill me with your joy. We're going to pray together. We're going to pray for you. This is not an event. This is not a show. It's serious business with God. Because if He comes back today, I don't know what He will say to you. I don't know what will happen to you if He comes back today and says, what did you do for me? See, I don't know if you go to heaven or hell. But if you don't know Jesus today, I gave my life to Jesus March the 14th, 1984, 10:30 in my parents' bedroom. I was 9 years old. If you haven't given your life to Jesus, and if there's anyone here that hasn't given their life to Jesus, and you want to give your life to Jesus, and Jesus, come into my life. I want you to stay in my life forever. I'm sorry for the things I have done wrong. Forgive me. I confess my sins, Jesus. Come into my life. Change me. I call upon the name of Jesus. I know now that you are the way, the truth, and the life. That without you, I am nothing. And if that's you crying out, saying, Lord, come into my life. If that's you that hasn't given their life to Jesus, then I just want you to come and sit next to the pastor today and he will pray with you. And if that's you and you want to give your life to Jesus, and if that's you, anyone, then the pastor is sitting here today and he will pray with you. If there's any of the young ones that haven't given their lives to Jesus, today is a great opportunity for you to give your life to Jesus. God, I was 9. And I started going to Sunday school when I was 8 years old. Let's sing it. And I'm going to pray with you right now, very quickly. Just everybody raise your hands. Fire! Lord, fill me with your fire! Holy Spirit, come afresh. Lord, I pray. Fill me with your fire. That's what you should be praying. Those that haven't come forward today, start saying, Lord, put a fire in my spirit. Put a fire in my bones. That I may begin to speak new tongues. That I might begin to step out in faith. That I might begin to believe those things. When man said you could not do it, I believe in Jesus. And I know that I can do it. Lord, fill me with your fire. Fill me with your fire.